Want to give you a bigger picture of the story that happened right before this scripture. And then I'm going to read the scripture and give you a little bit of idea what happens after that so that we can understand the context of what's going on here and what's happening here. Hannah was childless. Her and her husband and his other wife, named Peninnah, would all go to Jerusalem every year to sacrifice, or not Jerusalem, but they would go to sacrifice at Shiloh. And when they went, Hannah had no children, but desired to have one. Peninnah had children and would joke and laugh about Hannah not having any children. And one year she was there praying, asking God to bring her a child. And as she was there praying and her lips were moving, but not much was heard, the priest Eli thought that she had come to worship and was drunk. And was not, and he went over to kind of calm her down and to say, stop. And she explained to him what she was doing, that she was praying for a child. What happened then was that Eli blessed her, and she went back and had a child. And she had made a commitment to take that child and give it completely to the Lord if she ever had one. That child's name became Samuel, which in Hebrew means heard by God. Her prayer had been heard and answered, and she had a child now. And once she weaned that child, she gave that child over to Eli to raise and went back home. Quite an incredible story right there. And I want to pick it up by starting reading in chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Down to verse 26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Think about this. A mother that doesn't have a child now has one and gives it over to be raised in the sanctuary. And that boy is there every day, and Eli is guiding him and directing him. The part of the story that I didn't tell you is that Eli has two sons. They are priests also, but not good priests. They were doing horrible things and taking advantage of their position as priest. All of this is God's plan to raise up a new prophet. And at this time where we see the story, we know that Samuel does not know the Lord yet. That's what chapter 3 tells us. He does not know the Lord yet. Because as he's there in the tabernacle, what happens is during the midst of the night, God calls out to Samuel. And Samuel runs to Eli and says, "You called me?" And Eli says, "No, I didn't. Go back to sleep." Anybody ever had that conversation with a young'un? And again, God calls, and Samuel runs to Eli and says, "You called me?" And Eli says, "No, go back to bed." And it happens a third time. And the third time that it happens, Eli realizes that it's God calling Samuel. And he tells him, next time this happens, say, "Here I am." And then tell me tomorrow what God says to you. You see, Samuel's being raised right there in the tabernacle. And he's coming to know God in the presence of the tabernacle, in the presence of Eli, who did try to correct his sons, but I guess not strong enough. And God is raising up a new one to be prophet, to be judge, to be leader of all Israel. But right here in the middle part of this story, we need to understand how important it is to continue growing in the Lord. And this is probably, for me, one of the saddest things about most people that go to church. You see, a continuing spiritual growth should be every Christian's concern. A continuing spiritual growth should be every Christian's concern. We need to be growing closer to the Lord. We need to understand the Lord better. We need to grow deeper in relationship with the Lord. We need to understand our scriptures better. That should be our concern. And we should do something about it. I want to read to you. Jerry, thanks for picking this song this morning. I want to read to you a piece of this song that always touches me so deeply. "He was reaching for me, but I resisted. I resisted his touch. Instead, I reached for other things I thought meant so much. Things of value in earth's market, I had sought all of them. But the time I was seeking for him. So I reached out to Jesus, crying, 'Lord, hear my plea, for I want you to have all of me.'" What I want to tell you from what I know from all of my spiritual studies is that God is always seeking for you. Always. And for some reason or another, we hold back. One of my main philosophies for ministry and for my spiritual life is that God always, always wants the best for me. Always. God never wants second best or third best. And God never desires any kind of harm for me. God always wants the best. Why do I settle for less than the best? By not giving myself completely to God. Why do I settle for that? And sometimes I even make the wrong choice, knowing it is the wrong choice when I make it. Now, sometimes accidentally we make the wrong choice. Unknowingly, I guess would be better to say. But you see, we should be concerned about this spiritual growth. The reason I said this is, for me, a sad thing is because some Christians have only accepted Jesus as Savior and not grown. That's all they've done. It's as though they have in their mind that now that I've accepted Jesus as Savior, I'm safe, I'm going to heaven, and I don't need to do anything else. By looking at all of the scriptures, that is so untrue and unbiblical. The scriptures talk about growing. The scriptures talk about maturing in your faith. Paul even says, work out your own salvation. What? Salvation is not by works. It's by God's grace. What is Paul talking about? Paul is saying that we need to put some energy into our spiritual growth. It doesn't just happen. You have to put some energy into it. It's sad to see a bunch of spiritual Christian babies. And some of those Christian babies have been in the church for 20, 30, 40, and yes, even 50 years. I've seen it in my ministry. People are not concerned about spiritual growth. They're concerned about everything else in the world. What did the song say? Instead, I reached out for other things I thought meant so much. Things of value in Earth's market, I had sought all of them. Things I thought meant so much. Spiritual growth is the one thing that will go to heaven with you. All of your possessions, and I'll save it even not as nicely, all of your possessions stored in your basement or your shed or sheds will not go to heaven with you. They will belong to somebody else. And somebody else will decide whether they need to be kept or not. All those things that you kept because one day I might need it, and I know somebody's going to tell me at the door, Pastor, you threw something out that you're going to need next week. Yep, I probably did already. But you know what? It had been sitting where it was sitting for 20 years. Not being used. And the truth be told, I probably couldn't find it when I needed it. And that's why it's easier to go to Lowe's to pick up a new set of screws than to dig through a bin to find the one that's exactly the right size. Folks, spiritual growth is important. It is important. Jesus commands us to be about it. The scriptures talk about it over and over and over again, about maturing in your faith. One of the things that I'm going to tell you is that being aware of God's presence always helps to focus on growth. Now, what does this mean? Samuel was in the midst of the tabernacle with Eli. The impression I get from Scripture is that Samuel slept in the tabernacle. Being in the presence of God. Now the truth is, because the Holy Spirit has come and the Holy Spirit lives within every Christian, God's presence is always with us. Always. Even when you make a bad decision to do a wrong thing, God is right there, watching you make that decision. When you choose to use words that some might consider improper or offensive, God is right there listening. You see, we need to become more aware of that. Because if I'm more aware of that, would I be doing those things? Would I be saying those things? If it's something that I think that I only would do under the cover of darkness, maybe I need to question whether I should do it or not. Because darkness is light to God, and God is right there. We need to understand that presence of God that's with us. That presence of God, I don't believe that presence, that God's presence with us is to go, yep, caught you. I don't think that's what it's for. Yep, you did the wrong thing again. I don't think that's what the presence of God, why God is present with us. I think it's because God wants to encourage us to grow spiritually. God wants us to know things about God more than we knew yesterday. God wants to open our hearts so that we could express love the way that Jesus expressed love. You see, that's what we need to know about the presence of God. It's there for encouragement. And it's there to give forgiveness when we realize we've done the wrong thing. It's there to show grace. It's there to show mercy. I don't know, but I wonder what it was like for Samuel to live in the church and to be there with the understanding that God is present. Because that's where they saw in their day God's presence, was in the sanctuary. Now we know because of the Holy Spirit, God's presence goes with us. Spiritual growth is important. But just knowing that spiritual growth is important is not enough. The Greek word for sin is harmatia. That word is actually an archery term. And it means to miss the target, is what it means. So sin is missing the target that God has for us, for our lives. That's what sin is. Well, I have never been good at archery. Never. I tried it as a Boy Scout and went to the archery range a couple of times and decided that was not for me because I was not going to hit that target ever. And I might be willing to say I wasn't going to hit the target no matter how close I got to it. That's how bad I was at archery. But imagine doing archery without a target. If you don't have a target when doing archery, will you ever hit it? Will you even know which direction to aim? Not having a plan for spiritual growth, you'll never hit it. Not having a plan for spiritual growth, you will never hit it. Establishing a plan is key to growing spiritually. And I want to challenge you to think about what is your plan to grow spiritually? What is your plan? What's the next step in your plan that you need to take? What's the next thing that you need to do? What's the next thing that you need to be about so that you can grow spiritually? Kids don't grow physically without physical food. And having a plan to eat a good balanced diet is the best one. To grow physically. How will you grow spiritually if you don't have a plan? How will you grow spiritually if you don't know what the target is that you're shooting at? You understand what I'm saying? If we are supposed to grow into the image of Christ, then we need to know what Christ is like, what Christ does, what Christ teaches, how Christ acts in situations. And how do we do that? By studying the Scriptures. Without a plan, you can't grow. What's your plan for digesting the Scriptures? What is your plan for this time next year to know that you have grown spiritually? See, the reason I told you part of the story further after this is because Samuel needed help. And Eli didn't get it at first. But Samuel needed help. And Eli was the one to mentor and to help Samuel. You know what? The church exists to bring people to Christ, number one. And then number two, to help them mature in the faith. My role as a pastor, as I read in Scripture, is to help people mature in the faith so that they are not blown left and right and over hill and valley by any wrong teaching. I'm supposed to help you mature in the faith and grow in your faith. That's my role as a pastor. And that's very important to me. That's why I preach the way I preach. That's why I teach the way that I teach. You see, the first role of the church is to spread the word of Jesus Christ. To let people know that they can have salvation, that they can be forgiven, that there is grace and mercy from God. Not just anger when you do things wrong and condemnation. I know many of you probably know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? Do you know what a couple of verses later says? A couple of verses later it says, Christ did not come to condemn the world. And sometimes the way we live our faith, we condemn people that don't live the faith. They don't get it. They're wrong. They're not right. They don't understand. They need to get saved. They need to be reborn. God needs to touch their heart in a way. I can't do that. Yes, you can. God wants you to share your meeting with Jesus Christ. How did you come to know Jesus? And that's the first role of the church. But the second role is just as important. Jesus says, go therefore and make. Jesus did not say, go therefore and get people saved. He didn't say that. Now you can't make a disciple without having somebody saved. His goal was the end product, not the beginning. The beginning is getting saved. Jesus' goal was the end product. The one who could tell other people about Jesus Christ. The one who would live the faith. The one who would grow spiritually. That is the commission that Jesus gives us. Not just to bring people to Jesus Christ, first role of the church, but to help them grow spiritually. So if you don't grow spiritually, how will you help somebody else? That'll be, what did Jesus say? That'll be like the blind leading the blind. Do you have a plan? This is the last Sunday of 2024. It's also the last Sunday of the first month of the Christian year. The Christian year starts with Advent, not January 1st. This is the last Sunday. And typically, people make New Year's resolutions, or as one older gentleman that I knew in the previous church, he would say, I don't make no revolutions. And he would also say that he was not going to make them because that way he couldn't fail. I'm asking you to think about, what is your plan to grow spiritually? Do you daily eat of the spiritual food that God gives us? Or would you say that your spiritual being is anemic? Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? And part of my sharing this with you is to let you know that starting next Sunday at 9 a.m. and then doing it on Wednesday night again, we're going to talk about how can you know God's will. How can you know what God wants you to do to grow spiritually? We're going to talk about how do you figure that out. My life as a pastor has had many ups and many downs. But it has always been an incredible blessing. Always. Because I was able to discern, this is what God wants me to be about. This is God's plan for me. Remember what I said? God only wants the best for us. And I find that when I live into the best that God wants for me, what an incredible blessing it is, whether it's an up or a down day. Both ways. It's a blessing. I'm going to do the best that I can through this next year to help you understand how to discern what God wants you to be. You do realize we're human beings. We're not called human doings. We need to start with being who God wants us to be. And the doing follows. Because as you grow spiritually, you want to do for the kingdom of God. Those works don't save you. That's not going to get me any closer to God. Other than I experience God as I live through those things. I want to read for you again the last verse, verse 26 in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. You know what? In the Gospels, it says the same thing about Jesus when he was a little boy. The exact same thing. He continued to grow in stature and in favor with God and with people. Here's what I want to ask you to think about. Besides the fact you need to think about what's your plan, so you know where you're aiming, would others say that you're growing in stature and in favor with God? Would others say that you are growing in stature and in favor with God? The only thing that goes to heaven with us is our relationships with other people that go to heaven also. And our relationship with God. That's the only thing that goes to heaven with us. Why not grow in stature and in favor with God? So that when you meet God face to face, why not? What's your plan for that? I want to read this solo part in here one more time. He was reaching down for me, but I resisted his touch. Instead, I reached for other things I thought meant so much. Things of value in earth's market. I had sought all of them. But all the time I was seeking, I was seeking for him. You see, when we seek for all those other things, we're trying to fill a hole that's in our heart that can only be filled by God. So I reached out to Jesus, crying, "Lord, hear my plea, for I want you to have all of me." And then out of the darkness, I saw his light of love giving me a brand new start. Lord, hear my plea, for I want you to have all of me. And out of the darkness, I saw his light of love giving me a brand new start. Are you ready for that brand new start? Whether you've walked with Jesus for 10 minutes or 10 decades, you can still have a brand new start starting today. Let's pray. Lord, it's difficult. It's difficult keeping our eyes set upon you, for the things of this world distract us. And we follow after them, trying to fill a hole in our heart that can only be filled by you, that can only be filled by spiritual growth. And spiritual growth only happens if we set our mind on it and set our heart on it and have a plan. And Lord, one of the purposes of being together in church is to help one another mature in the faith. So Lord, I pray for those who hear this message, that they would really reflect and discern and think about, do they have a plan for spiritual growth? And would others look at them and see that they're growing in stature and in favor in a relationship with you? Lord, I confess before these people that I need to do more, because so many times I chase after the things of this earth, thinking that they have value and will bring me purpose. And Lord, I confess to you that I need to give to you my all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.